transportation, and we're going to skip to, I have to look at my agenda here, the and open a public hearing on House Bill 3323. And Representative Gerard, would you like to come forward?
Thank you.
I did.
You opened the meeting, you have to
open
it
again. I opened the public hearing. I'm new at this.
I'm Representative Bill Gerard from District 56, Klamath Falls, Southern Klamath County. With the Chair's permission, I'd like to also have join me Claire Griffin, who is a co-sponsor on this bill with me, actually is the person to whom this bill was meant. This is, committee members, Chair, this is not an earth-shattering bill. But like many of the bills that make it through the process, it is a bill that was written to right a perceived wrong. Many bills become law to correct injustice, create fairness, or to simply send a message. I sponsored this bill at the request of Claire Griffin, who sits to my right, and she will explain to you the what's and the whys of this bill.
Thank you.
Chair Gilman and committee members, thank you for giving consideration to this bill and for giving me a chance to testify on it. I'm Claire Griffin, and I live in Portland, 11604 Northeast Pacific Street. The original purpose of the handicap parking designations was to facilitate the disabled in their daily activities. The sad fact is that many people who have handicap parking designations for their vehicle abuse the use of the handicap parking spaces. For example, the individual who resides in an apartment complex and rather than park in their assigned parking place prefers to park their vehicle in a handicapped space because it is slightly closer to their front door. If they have a handicap designation, this is completely legal. This situation exists in a retirement community in the city of Gresham. The private facility is required to have only 3 handicapped parking spaces. Every resident who owns a vehicle in that residential facility is assigned their own parking place. One of these residents has determined that the designated handicap space is more convenient for her and consequently parks her vehicle, which she seldom drives, in that space permanently. Conceivably, any other 2 residents with handicap parking designations could do the same and thus preclude anybody else from using the handicap slots on the temporary basis for which they really are designed. Banning overnight parking in handicapped spaces would, at the very least, make it inconvenient to occupy handicapped spaces on a permanent basis. Further, it would provide the management with a tool whereby they can enforce a parking restriction. Thank you for your time, and I'll answer any questions I can.
Madam Chair, committee members, too, we have not been approached by any group in opposition to this bill, but should some such group come forth, we'd be happy to work with them in trying to make the bill accountable to everybody.
Thank you. Representative Burley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we're talking about a person that has a disabled permit, and what they're doing is parking overnight in a disabled parking spot. And so we want them to park elsewhere because there's already reserved spaces for them since they live in the facility. But are those other spaces that are reserved for them disabled? Are they accessible for them? Or
The bill requires that they be allowed another parking space in the same lot as the handicapped. I really don't know if she even has an assigned place, if she's ever applied for one in this particular instance. But we would require that they are given another slot assigned to them in the same lot.
But it would be an accessible spot because, you know, they need more room, van accessible, and all that.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, committee? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving forward, and I will close the public hearing. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this bill, I guess?
We appreciate the courtesies extended to allow us to go first. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Seeing no one else, I'm going to close the public hearing. And I'm going to open the public hearing on House Bill 2869. And staff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2869 2869 imposes a fee on the retail sale of studded tires and on installation of studs on a tire. It imposes a $10 fee at the retail level for the retail sale of each new studded tire, and the same for the installation of studs on existing tires. The fee is paid by retailers on a quarterly basis, and the retailer is entitled to retain 5% of the total fees collected for expenses incurred.
Thank you. And I'm chairing the meeting today, but I'm going to turn it over to Representative Burley and go down to introduce the bill.
Oh, gosh.
Hello, sorry. Here's a put on by mode here.
He admonished someone to answer the phone.
Oh, my. Okay.
And then two other phones rang.
Thank you, committee. I'm here today in support of House Bill.
Excuse
I don't
me,
even know
please
it.
Please state your name.
If I can remember it today. Committee, my name is Representative Terry Beyer. I'm representing Springfield. And I'm here in support of House Bill 2869. And you have a studded tire report in front of you that came from a work group that I chaired during the interim. It pretty much outlines all of our discussion points, areas of agreement and non-agreement from the committee. There wasn't a consensus. We didn't come out with any bills from the committee, so this bill is not from that work group. But I think what I want to point out is that we had agreement on a number of points. One was that studded tires cause pavement damage, and there is a continued need or demand for studded tires, even with other alternatives out there, and that the state has taken steps in the past to reduce the damage caused by studded tires, and that was by requiring lightweight studs, shortening the season that we allow studded tires, and allowing studless winter tires as a traction device. So the state has made progress in dealing with this, although there was a suit a number of years back after we went to the lightweight studs that caused people to start using four tires as opposed to two tires. So the damage hasn't necessarily been less than what they thought it would be because they're now using more tires. And if we were had enough money and were investing a larger amount of money keeping up with the damage, that we'd be in a lot better shape on the road. So where we didn't reach consensus is the extent of the damage. Will always be a question on the pro and the con of this one. And there's some discussion about the actual drawbacks of studded tires versus rubber tires and where their safety is or where they're useful or not useful. Then the drawbacks, another one is the safety drawbacks on pavement rutting. There's some issues there that we have to deal with. And we really don't have an idea of the trends in the use of studded tires. We can't really get any numbers. I would have liked to have come out of this work group knowing that the sale of studded tires is on the decline and we wouldn't need to do anything to mitigate the damage to the road. So that we don't know. So what we were proposing here is a fee on studded tires, which, believe me, I've gotten emails saying they just want an outright ban of studded tires. But I think there are some benefits to studded tires. People feel that they're safer using them, even though there's some question about in what situations they are safe or not safe. If they choose to use them, we want them to have that choice. So what we proposed was a $10 fee. on studded tires, which does not actually cover the actual cost that ODOT estimates the damage to be, which would amount to about $40 for a set of tires. Now, the question is how often people change that, you know, have to replace their studded tires. I you know, don't have them, so I don't know how often. My guess is they probably last about four seasons, depending on how many miles you drive, or when you actually replace your car, which sometimes comes sooner than that 4 years. So that would amount to about a $10 fee a year if you averaged it out. So we didn't think that was too bad, and it was a very much of a compromise in that we didn't ban them, and we gave people the choice. And with that, I will.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, State Representative Dave Hunt from Clackamas County. It's interesting to note, as you look at the study that Representative Byers' work group did during the interim, that there are eight states today that ban studded tires. And I think there are some Oregonians who would like to see a ban of studded tires. We really want to be really clear. This bill does not do that. We don't think that should be done. And yet the challenge is that with the common agreement that there is damage caused to Oregon roadways by studded tires, more so than the damage caused by regular tires, with that agreement, you're really left with three options then. You can just ignore the problem to say, yeah, there is more damage caused by studded tires, but we're not going to do anything about it. You can study it to death. We can do a study this year. There still won't be consensus. We can do another study next year. There won't be consensus. Or we can actually take some action. And within the realm of possible actions, one option would be to go with the much higher fee that ODOT would say would actually cover the full cost of the damage based on their estimates. This bill is way, way below that number with just $10 a fee, $10 a tire fee. And it actually, I mean, it affirms the fact that there is damage. It doesn't try and invest our time in a study, which I have no sense at all. If we did a study on this and the study came back and said, yes, there is damage to Oregon roadways, reaffirmed that and said, and the cost of recouping that would be $30 a tire or $40 a tire or $20 a tire. I have no sense of assurance that people who oppose this bill today would still be opposed to that bill at that point, and we would have wasted the money and time on a study. So this is an opportunity, we think, to move beyond studies, move beyond just ignoring the problem, and actually take action to begin to repair some of the damage, at least, that's caused by studded tires, while still protecting the rights of Oregonians to have those studded tires for legitimate, very legitimate safety reasons.
Thank you. You're carrying this.
Sorry. I just presumed since you were here, you were here.
No, I'm not going to do it today. I'm taking a furlough.
Forgive me. Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative?
So really what you've done is just taken this $10 and pulled it out of the air. Is that correct?
I'll tell you from my perspective, Mr. Chair, well, I think you are. Mr. Chair and Mr. Chair. I talked with folks representing the tire industry, and I said, you know, do you have, you doubt ODOT's figure? Give me what your figure would be. Do you think it's $25? Do you think it's $12? Do you think it's $8? If they would have come back with a number, I would have been certainly willing to support that. Short of that, the choice was the official estimate, which is much higher and therefore would be a significant potential impact, or to have something that's much more moderate that at least begins to recoup some of the damage. So, yeah, I think the $10 is certainly far less than the actual damage, while still being a very reasonable, affordable fee.
Right. And thank you, Mr. Chairs and committee. I know that the number I think that ODOT has set out, if I remember right, is a $22 a tire fee. And I think that is in the 2000 ODOT study on studded tires, has a lot of information on what happened. So I'm not, again, ours was just a work group and a much more condensed report that you got from us, but I think our intent was to at least make a start on repairing the damage. I mean, there is an estimate of about $48 million that it would, if the state made an investment into repairing the damage of studded tires, that would be a one-time payment of $48 million, which would take care of anything of a depth deeper than 3/4 inch, if I remember right on that. So with that kind of an investment, then our $11 million a year or a biennium would keep pace with the damage. As it is now, we aren't keeping pace with the damage.
I don't know if you're looking at representative.
Yeah, I have several questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, what would the $10 per, is it per tire?
Tire.
What would that generate? In based on what's on the road, or
I don't know if he has that number. I don't actually have the number.
Okay.
But the $22 a tire would generate about, on the state system, would generate about $7.8 million, which is what the damage on the state system is. The additional amount is city and local, city and county roads.
Okay. May I follow up? Thank you. Representative Hunt, you mentioned that 8 states ban studded tires outright. Are there other states that don't ban it but do have some sort of a fee structure that you're aware of, something different from what Oregon has in an outright ban?
Representative Byer may be able to answer that in more depth. I know that Alaska, at least, has specific additional fees on tires sold with heavyweight studs. I'm not aware of others that specifically, most other states have moved to a ban, is that?
I think so, okay. But I'm not positive.
So not a lot of states doing sort of, for lack of, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, if I may. Not a lot of states doing what I would construe as something in between a ban and a wide open as we have it now.
Right.
Okay. Two more. I know part of this work group included the tire industry, and I know that part of it, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but maybe a frustration was that you didn't get a number back. Was there a compromise in your mind? I should direct this toward you, Representative Byer. Was there a compromise? Did the tire industry come back with anything or nothing?
The tire industry came back with nothing. They did not feel that there should be any fee.
Okay.
On studded tires.
I was not part of the study group, but in my conversations with them, and they are in the room, they can speak for themselves as well. I think they would counter propose, let's do a study. And my question to them was, if we do a study, you know, if we take a biennium, do a study, go to the expense of doing that, will you live with the results of whatever that study are and support the recommendation?
Mm-hmm.
And the response was no. So in my mind, it seemed to eliminate any value of doing a study. If it's going to cost us money and cost us time and leave us with no greater consensus that we have now, why would we do it?
One more, Mr. Chair. And this is sort of a quasi-comment and question. The comment, if you will, is what would be the cost? I mean, we talk about the cost to and there's no question there's wear and tear on the road. Nobody questions that, and I'm sure it's, you know, tens of millions of dollars. I'm not sure, but it doesn't feel, you know, it seems reasonable that it's tens of millions of dollars of road damage. My question is, as we're discussing costs, which this boils down to is a cost discussion, what would be the cost of not having studded tires? What would be the cost in property damage and life damage and whatnot if people didn't have studded tires? And not just the personal cost, but what would be the cost of the state and emergency services and repairs and things like that? I know we don't have an answer to that, but I think that's something that we have to keep in consideration when we're talking about weighing costs. And to make the point, too, that as we're looking at that people who use studded tires, because it's a pain in the tail, because you have the time, it's expensive, there's timelines involved to get them on and getting them off, and I don't think people do it willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I've always, you know, I've looked at, should we get stud tires? And no, what a pain in the tail. And because I live in the Portland metropolitan area, that's mm-hmm. a benefit. But people sitting on the other side of the mountain may not have that luxury. Cool. So I just say that as a comment, and if maybe leave it at that. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
And just a quick response to that, and you're right. What would that the cost be? And that we don't really have that that number, and that's why you can't really reach consensus on a lot of these issues. Is that we don't even know the safety issues. You know, there's debate whether or not studded tires are safer on most conditions, winter conditions, and there's a lot of evidence out there saying that there's a very limited number of conditions that studded tires are actually safer than an all-terrain or all-weather tire is. So, I mean, we won't know. And I know I don't have studded tires either, and unfortunately that was one of the reasons that I wasn't able to go to Bend when we met in Bend, because the...
He was going to bring that up, Representative.
I know. ODOT, you know, has on their website that chains or traction devices are required, and whether or not I could have actually made it is one thing, but I didn't want to get a ticket if I got up there and didn't have them, so... And that's another issue that, you know, you really have to deal with, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say, Mr. Chair, Representative Bruin, that I think is a very convincing argument against any effort to ban studded tires, mm-hmm. Because on that day in particular, I suppose chains would be an option, but chains aren't a real, talk about difficulty, you know, being a pain in the backside. Chains are, from my perspective, even more so. But setting aside the ban issue, which even though 8 states have pursued that, I don't hear anybody, at least in the legislature, pursuing that. But just in terms of cost responsibility, you know, we have in our state constitution a cost responsibility requirement that relates to ensuring that trucks and passenger cars pay their fair share. I think the same principle very much applies here. If there is a specific subset of passenger vehicles, in this case, that are causing a disproportionate amount of damage, why should those same vehicles not pay a greater share of the cost? Much as if I and my vehicle drive more miles, I therefore consume more gasoline, I therefore pay a higher amount of gas taxes, which is completely fair. I'm causing more damage to the road. And so I think this bill, although it doesn't get the full cost responsibility, at least takes a step toward cost responsibility.
And I'm really glad that Representative Barr brought that up, because both of you were on the phone.
I, on the other hand, had studs. And although my car sat in the basement and we took my husband's truck, but didn't have studs, but had the all-weather tires, so we were fine. But my point is, I was going to ask you, too, if you addressed the... people on the east side of the mountains who are driving on more ice and snow than we are, but they're more spread out, and they have more often the snow and ice than in the Portland area, and less traffic, so their damage quotient would be far less, I imagine. That piece, and just as an aside, I wondered if you discussed that in the group. And then the other piece was in our fire district, we have a very small, a 3-mile up a hill to our upper district location, and have a rescue rig up there in our wildland fire piece, which we don't have a lot of wildland fire going on in the winter, but we keep studs on both of our rescue rigs. We've gone to non-studded tires, but came back to studs because it was of the ice. And ODOT has not been, they've been very good about spraying that stuff on that melts the ice and everything, but sometimes they, if you don't get it on soon enough, you're too late. You can't put it on over ice, you can't put it on over snow. And so the studs have been, in many cases, the only way we can get those rescue rigs in and out of our district. And on Highway 26, even though it gets sprayed, plowed, and often sanded. And that is also in an area, in a rural area, where there's less traffic, less cars on the road, I think would do less. What am I trying to say here? You don't
find the ruts you do on 217, for example, or I-5.
And thank you, Committee Chair and Representative Boone. In the work group, we did address safety vehicles, or public safety vehicles, because they definitely wanted to be able to use studded tires. They felt a lot more comfortable with studded tires on, which is another reason that adding to the reasons why we wouldn't go with an outright ban, because they did want that option. We also talked about the east versus west and whether or not there was some way we could address this on a regional area, which has been attempted in the past. There was a bill, I want to say, I don't know if it was last session or the previous session, that actually did have a fee in on the west side as opposed to the east side, if it was a regional thing. But with the public safety people or the police agencies would have a very difficult time dealing with that. It's hard to know who belongs where and how to really enforce that, which is another reason that we didn't take that approach.
Just a quick follow-up. I don't like to be nitpicky, but I think it was 2 weeks ago on Monday, I came through 32-degree snowstorm, this much snow on the road, on the Coast Range. So just saying west side doesn't mean we don't get the ice. You know, we'll often have ice, even at this time of year, early in the morning.
And yes, I agree with that. The issue with the west and the east side is that really the west side has the most damage on the roads as opposed to the east side. They use more studded tires, but there's not as much traffic and wear on the roads as the on the east side. For one thing, they have snow and ice more often than we do, and we mostly have bare pavement, which the studs will tear up. So it's more that issue is, we don't necessarily need them over here, but these people go back and forth and want that option.
Any other questions?
Well, coming from what I consider to be the right side of the mountains, when you're facing north, it's right. Actually, last year I tried going without studded tires in my truck and found that I was having difficulty. And I do about 30,000 miles a year on my vehicle with my job, traveling all over this state. And when I have to be in Portland at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm on the road at ODAR 30, and that's when we've got all sorts of black ice and things like that, and that's where I find the studded tires to be helpful. But you're right. I mean, there's a lot of evidence and anecdotal evidence and, lack of agreement on some of these things, but I think what you're doing here is kind of you're not trying to ban them. I think you recognize that there is a safety feature and it should be a personal choice. My question is, where does the money go? I mean, the bill says, well, it's going to go into the state highway fund, but we're already having problems in Central Oregon right now with what we believe ODOT is not quite honoring its agreement on OTIA, and the fact that part of it was they were supposed to provide certain maintenance levels over there, and we're not seeing it. So I could see us getting into this big fight. We're sitting over on the right side of the mountain saying, well, we need this money to fix our roads, and you're sitting over here saying, no, we need it. And, so we get into this kind of an issue going on. Well, who's got the worst damage from the studded tires, and who's going to get the money? And so, it's just... How do we resolve something like that? Where does the money go?
I would think, Mr. Chair, we would be very open to amendments from you that would propose within the State Highway Fund where that should go to make sure it's actually addressing, at least recognizing it's not going to address the entire damage caused by a set of tires, that it was actually focused on addressing that as opposed to addressing right. Something outside of that.
Yeah. And I agree, because I don't know that... you could guarantee. I know that we're already spending that $7.8 million on a state level to repair the roads now, and this would basically just replace it, or partially replace that $7.8 million. And how it's being spread out now, whether it's in the right places, I assume they're doing it where the damage is.
I just have one question. Representative Patrick.
Thank you. You probably don't have the answer to this since I didn't hear you bringing it up, but I was just thinking, in areas where they make you stop, put chains on, or you have to have traction devices. Those areas that get a lot of chain usage seem like they tear up the road an awful lot too. And I just wondered if that ever entered into the mix as far as the studies there, you know, as opposed to having studded snow tires on the snow rather than chains digging into slushy areas. And
And that wasn't ever brought up in the work group. We didn't talk about chains really at all. And I think right now what it says is, or at least what it said when I was getting ready to head over to Bend was chains, I mean studded tires or traction devices. And even some of the all the winter tires are considered a traction device now. So there are other options besides chains to use. But we didn't have that discussion in the work group.
Well, I was just going to make a suggestion how you could do that. It's just that, you know, if you buy your tires in Bend, part of that $5 or 5% could be used checking east side, west side, or however you want to divide the state.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairs.
All three. John Jackley. Pass the gavel again.
Our job to confuse you. Okay.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is John Jackley. I'm with the Highway Division at the Department of Transportation. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you this afternoon. As you know, House Bill imposes a fee on the retail sale of studded tires. The department doesn't have a position on the bill. I did want to discuss two issues briefly with you. One is the subject of damage, and one is the subject of repair costs. I think if the studies show any kind of consensus at all, it's that there is damage caused by ruts, and there's also potential safety issues involving stability spray and that kind of thing. The 1997 legislature did take some action and said that certain tires other than those with studs could be considered to be traction tires. They do provide some protection as well. The second issue that I'd really like to focus on is repair costs. The department spends approximately $7 million a year on repair costs. Local governments spend about $4 million for an approximate statewide total of about $11 million. If you look at the damage by region, this is something that's come up in other discussions as well, it's not evenly distributed around the state. About half of the damage caused by studded tires is in what we call ODOT Region 1, which is the Portland metro area and some of the surrounding counties. ODOT Region 2, kind of the central part of western Oregon, is about 25%. We hardly have any damage at all in southwest Oregon, which is ODOT Region 3. Now, ODOT Region 4, which is about the central third of the state, which includes Bend, is about 22%. And then about 2% of the damage we estimate to be in ODOT Region 5, which is the eastern third of the state. You'd asked the question earlier about where would the money go. The bill as written would put the money into the state highway fund, and that would get distributed accordingly to the formula, which is about 60% to the state, about 24%+ to the counties, and about 15.5% to the cities. We do feel, of course, this amount doesn't cover all the damage that studded tires cause. It is what we're currently spending under our budgets and what we hear from the local cities and counties in terms of what they're spending. We estimate that if you did have a $48 million one-time investment and then kept it up at about $1.8 million a year, that would keep the ruts between about half an inch and three-quarters of an inch, which seems to be the breaking point for many of the safety considerations. So we did, like I said, the department doesn't have a position on the bill. We did want to make you aware that we feel that they do cause damage and that we do have some significant repair costs. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Oh. Good. Any questions? Representative Hunt. I'm not going to get to do this again.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Jaffe, based on the questions that was asked earlier, do you think that we could come up with some formula in terms of directing the repair dollars that would be generated by a set of tire fee, that we come up with some fair formula that would spread that in some kind of equitable ratio, maybe something very consistent with the ratio you just outlined, which roughly seems to, I mean, in general proportions is probably consistent with population. I assume Region 1 probably has about half the population of the state, as well as half the damage. Whether that's true or not, do you think there could be a reasonable formula, as opposed to just saying it's going to the highway fund, that would distribute that in some kind of equitable fashion?
Madam Chair, Representative Hunt, we have always felt that the ultimate solution to this issue is going to be a policy decision by the legislature. We would prefer very strongly that no additional studies be done, first of all. I think if there's any consensus on this issue, it's that the studies would simply reflect the continuing differences of opinion that we have. I think that if you were going to consider some kind of alternative to make it easier on everyone, it would have to have some kind of principle involving point of sale, and then enforcement would be problematic. Beyond that, I think the department feels that it's probably a policy call on your part. Just adding to that, ODOT's confident that we could administer whatever policy decisions the legislature makes. I think that, like I said, we don't have a position on the bill, but our preference would be, number one, no study, and then number two, that if you were going to consider something other than in the bill, is that you'd have to look strongly at point of sale as being the way to impose the fee, and then secondly, take some consideration for enforcement, which would probably be difficult.
No other questions? Representative
Burns. I have to keep it equal over here. Okay, here's an idea that you would have a fee for the tires and a credit for the tires without the studs. It was worth a look.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you very much.
And just a quick comment on that, and that is, we did have a discussion about incentives versus disincentives. But then you start dealing with where would the money come from, and since the highway fund can't be used for anything like that. No other questions?
Well, I have one comment. I don't know if it's a question or not, but you can answer it if you want. Now I forgot what I was. Well, essentially, I'm just wondering, you know, sometimes when they think of new fees to impose, the cost of administrating the fee or enforcing it and the cost of collecting it, you know, it just kind of gets gobbled up and you don't have a net gain. And I'm just wondering if that was thought through as far as coming up with the $10 fee.
Madam Chair, Representative Thatcher, in terms of our own estimate of the fiscal impact of this, we looked at where the money would go between the state, the cities, and the counties. In terms of just the principal distribution, about $6 million would go to the state highway program out of the state highway fund, about 1.5 to the cities, and about 2.4 million to the counties. In terms of the impact on the department, we we didn't think it would have any significant impact on our own budget or our own personnel.
Just follow up. Uh-huh. Was this from just the straight $10, an estimate of how many tires are out there and how many would be purchased, and then $10 would be divvied up a particular way? Was that how it was, or was it? Did you consider the cost of having additional enforcement and permits and fees and the cost involved with developing something like that and administering it? And I just wondered.
Madam Chair, Representative Thatcher, it was just a straightforward analysis of the fee imposed in the bill, the $10 fee. It didn't take into consideration those other factors. We looked at it from the standpoint of the impact on the department.
Representative Hunt?
I was just going to follow up on Representative Thatcher's question and just remind us that the first 5% would come right off the top before it ever got to the department for the dealer actually, for the administrative costs of imposing the fee and collecting it and passing it on. So that first 5% would come right off the top, which is actually very consistent with last session we imposed a hotel motel lodging tax. Same process, 5% comes off the top. Because there is some burden on the tire dealers of collecting that. And the sense I've consistently heard is that 5% should be more than adequate to cover the administrative cost.
In addition to that, I was also thinking about the cost to government of enforcing. And if they don't have money to enforce it, then you're not going to get a lot of compliance, and then you're going to be shooting yourself in the foot all the way around. I'm just wondering about that as well, cost of administering it from a government standpoint.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Kevin Westfall.
Chairman. I'm actually testifying on behalf of Glenn Stonebrink from the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. I'm Kevin Westfall from the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. Glenn is in another committee meeting at this time. Oregon Cattlemen oppose House Bill 2869. This $10 fee that keeps being thrown around doesn't appear to be a consensus that it can actually fix the problem, nor is it adequate in a couple of different opinions, previous opinions, to fix the problem. There also hasn't been any acceptable or comparable substitutes found that will compete with studs right now. Studs are a way of life in Eastern Oregon and for much of our membership. In Western Oregon, and at times, they are a luxury. However, in Eastern Oregon, they have become a way of life. The per tire fee right now appears to be an unfair tax on a low income family. A low income family, the per tire fee could potentially mean the difference between being unsafe and not going with studded tires versus, without a fee, being able to put them on their vehicles and make their families continue to be safe. In addition, ODOT is fairly well proven from many examples that they potentially cannot adequately manage their current budget right now. We add another fee to it, which is another tax. Are we assured that they can adequately manage this additional fee, and will it be applied as specified to fix the problem? That's all I have. Any questions?
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would you acknowledge that there is additional damage caused to the roads by studded tires versus studless tires?
Yes, I would acknowledge that. However, in Eastern Oregon, much of the driving in Eastern Oregon, anyway, is typically done on ice and snow, packed ice and snow, which would never touch the pavement, therefore doesn't impact it quite as much as in Western Oregon.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you. Mark Nelson.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mark Nelson, representing Les Schwab Tire Country. Excuse me. Oh, don't put that tape out. Members of the committee, I'm here in opposition, as you might expect, to House Bill 2869. While we appreciate the many problems and difficult tasks facing this committee as you try to deal with transportation issues across the state, we just don't believe that this is that placing a tax on studded tires it should be a necessary component of that process. I want to make it real clear, Les Schwab will always sell tires. So this is not an issue about selling tires. It is an issue about whether our customers have a choice to choose the tire that they feel makes them most safe on the roads. Safety is the key component to our opposition to this measure. Again, we're going to sell tires regardless, whether they be studless. Other tractor tires are considered to be tractor traction devices, or it's a studded tire. So it's not an issue about selling tires. It's an issue about whether our customers have a choice. My testimony today is going to cover three areas. One, that studded tires provide, as I've said, enhanced safety. Two, the data supporting the road damage associated with a studded tire, studded tires is outdated and related to the heavy studded tires. I'll expand upon this as we move forward. And a fundamental issue of fairness, who's going to pay this tax? Studded tires are a primary component to Les Schwab's commitment to safety. Studies show that studded tires provide a safe alternative for winter driving. The Finnish National Road Administration study concluded that drivers using studded tires had a lower relative risk of ice and snow-packed roads than drivers using studless winter tires. So it's a study that they made. I'll read you just a little version of that study. The findings of the study indicate that all the alternatives concerning reduced road salting, because there are a number of issues here in that particular study, and the reduced use of studded tires would lead to an increase in the number of accidents. Reducing the level of salting by 50% would lead to a 6% increase in wintertime accidents involving bodily injuries. Similarly, reducing the use of studded tires by 50% would increase such accidents in the winter season by 10%. And it goes on that an 80% that the greatest effect on bodily injury accidents would occur in the scenario of 80% reduced salting and less than 20% of passenger cars fitted with studded tires. In that case, bodily injury accidents during the winter season would rise about 30%. Converted into economic costs, the value of the traffic safety changes in the various scenarios that they studied, again, it included both not using studded tires and the use of non-use of salt, range from $44 million to $222 million. Now, again, it found that studded tires, and I want to emphasize because some reference has been made to different types of driving conditions, that studded tires on ice and snow are safer than studless tires. Now, it has been alluded here that there are some, in rain, for example, on just damp, it hasn't been shown that studded tires increase safety. But it is on the snow and ice, in particular what happens in eastern Oregon, where it's crucial. There's also an Alaska tires study report, which I think is important. When I say a study, I'm not talking just about where. I don't want to get to the issue of where. But I'm talking about all cost, and it was alluded to as to the cost of not having studded tires. And in the Alaska study, and it was done by the School of Engineering, it's, quote, savings from avoided crashes are the most substantial impact and benefits the broadest range of groups, including state government, vehicle owners, passenger, and insurance companies. It goes on further. The technology of winter tires, they said, continue to improve. Studless tires with improved traction are growing in popularity. Studded tires now have rubber compounds that minimize stud contact on dry and wet pavement, minimizing road damage. All current major studies investigated indicate that studded tires provide improved traction on icy roads in acceleration, lateral movement, and stopping over any tire available to the consumer. And again, I want to say the study also concluded that there's no significant difference in the performance of studded tires and non-studded tires on wet pavement. Again, no difference there in terms from a safety point of view. There are certain people and certain vehicles who have difficulty using change. For example, some of our senior citizens, customers want the security of studded tires and are not physically able to install change. If you remove this, again, we're not dealing with a ban, and we'll talk about what can be for some people a de facto ban because of the tax. Some cars cannot use change because of the ways they are designed. For Explorers, Tauruses, Chevrolets, and even some Volvos can't use change. So they're forced to make a choice between safety. They can't use change in those particular cases, or they can't put the chains on if they're senior citizens. Again, we believe evolving technology may someday make studded tires obsolete. Some of the snow tires that were used in the testing that I just outlined, I mentioned, like Blizzak, are using state-of-the-art technology to improve snow tires. We sell those tires, and we think they're a good option for our customers. However, there is no other type of winter tire that has a proven record of studded tires in the type of weather conditions that we're talking about. Now, let's talk about the studies. And I understand ODOT saying they don't want to do any more studies. My problem is they really haven't done a study since the early 70s. The early 70s, is, in my understanding, is the only time there was a field study on the damage. In that case, it was heavy studs, which everyone used at that time, provided, and we're in agreement, studs cause damage. In that particular case, caused more damage. And ever since that time, there has been three or four extrapolations of that base study as to the cost of the damage. We have gone through a cycle from the heavy studs to, I think you'll call it aluminum studs, lightweight studs, and to the further evolution that we are now with the very lightweight studs that we have today. We believe there is a major difference, and that it's not by extrapolation that we should be determining what those costs are. But the study should not just include wear. The study should include all costs, all economic costs of using studded tires and not using studded tires. What is the, what will be the expected increase rate of accidents by individuals not using studded tires? How many people will not buy studded tires because there's a tax and they can't afford the tax? And what will that lead to in terms of an accident? I think you also have to look at a ban. What will a ban do in terms of increased accidents and the cost of those accidents? That's what the Alaska study tried to approach. So we do believe that another study would be important, but not just on wear. We believe there is wear. We've openly said that. There is wear. But we don't know how much and to what degree. The proposal before you today will charge consumers who purchase and install stud tires with an extra $40. This tax is pretty equivalent to what we pay for registration. Many of those consumers, as you've just heard, of these studded tires are from Eastern and Central Oregon, or travel there frequently, and that's very important. A lot of people travel over there from Western Oregon. We believe it will cause undue hardship on these individuals, especially those on fixed incomes and those with lower incomes. A tax on stud tires would have an impact on those least able to afford. And again, you're forcing people to make a choice between their own safety. They've determined for their own safety that the studded tire is the tire of their choice. And by putting a tax on that tire, you are having, you know, forcing them to make a choice between their own safety and paying the tax. And I'm sorry to say, some people will choose not to pay the tax at the expense of their own safety. So we'd like you to consider all of these issues as we move forward. As many witnesses have said, it's not black and white. We do have differences of opinion. But I think on the fundamentals, I don't think we have a difference. I think we agree that there's wear. There's an issue of how much, and how much has it diminished as we've technology has improved the taxes. There is an economic cost to this choice. And finally, I've repeated this a couple times, Les Schwab will sell a tire. We're going to sell a tire whether you pass this bill or not, whether you have a ban or not. It's an issue of whether our customers have the right to choose what they feel is the safest tire for their particular travel. Thank you.
Questions? Representative Funk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mark, would you acknowledge that there's an issue of safety also around the ruts in the road in terms of safety of vehicles traveling near those ruts?
Madam Chair, Representative Hunt, yes, I would acknowledge that. I don't think it pales compared to the safety issue posed by, especially in those circumstances that I'm talking about, in terms of snow and ice, in terms of not being able to use a studded tires.
Okay. Follow up. And of course, it's all the whole issue is still very theoretical around how much. If a fee of $10 or any fee would actually decrease usage. You talked about the Alaska study. If the Alaska study was the kind of comprehensive study that you would look to, I noticed that at the end of their study, they did impose what I understand is a $5 per tire fee on set of tires. Would you be supportive of that based on the results of that Alaska study?
Madam Chair, Representative Hunt, no. I think my understanding of the Alaska situation is they had the economic report, and which basically, as I said, saving from avoiding crashes is the most substantial impact, and that was where what was really costing the money, and they imposed a $5 anyway. We would argue against that. We would argue that an economic study would show that you're going to have increased cost if you either ban studded tires or people choose not to use them because of the tax, and that economic cost is equal or similar to the damage on the road. We make choices all the time in our ODOT system to do things for safety reasons. You go over the pass and you have guardrails all the way over the pass, and for safety reasons. And we believe that this particular product is there to provide safety for people who travel in those conditions.
We have one last follow-up, Madam Chair. If we did go through the expense and time of having a study, would you and those you represent be supportive of whatever the recommended outcomes were on that study?
If you're asking, we would support, if we had that kind of in-field study, we would support the outcomes of the study. In other words, if the study was done properly, and we prefer that it be done by a third party, and there are other issues like that, if the outcome says there's X amount of damage, we would be here telling you there's X amount of damage, and we agree with that. We would argue, still, that the safety cost outweigh that cost. But if we had true study that said, I mean, we think $11 million is an extrapolation. We don't think it's correct. We don't think it reflects the changes of technology, what's on the road today. If we go and do a study, an in-field study, independently, and it comes out and it says it's $7.8 million, we'll be back in front of you acknowledging that, because at least we know. We don't think you know now. Because it's an extrapolation.
Okay. Representative Boone.
Has the engineering advanced enough, or do you think it's possible to do some sort of rubber stud that, because of when the temperatures are cold, it would be really hard, and then when the temperatures warm up, or that there's no ice on the road, that it would be warmer and thereby softer and not do any damage?
Madam Chair, Representative Boone, I think we're there now. I mean, we're beginning to get there now. I mean, that's part of the advantage of what we have now in our lightweight studs. But I mean, Les Schwab believes we're going to solve this problem.
What are they made of, though? What are they made of? I'm sorry.
It's a rubber component.
Okay, so that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but you know, we have someone in the back of the room that may have more knowledge, but then Mark Nelson, the lobbyist, who buys his tires from West Schwab.
Thank you. Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. Maybe just an interesting observation. At least it was interesting to me, but I will share it with you all, and you can pretend you're interested. The work group attendees consisted of 6 members of the government, unless you also want to count Representative Beyer. You know, maybe that was the citizen member. And then one representative of industry, and then two from one motorist. It just seems like it was not really balanced, but, you know, that was just my observation as far as those inclined to say, you know, yes to studded tires versus those who would say no to studded tires, you know. But you were citing some studies earlier in your testimony. I'm wondering if we could get copies of those.
Absolutely, absolutely. One's fairly voluminous, but I'll get you a copy.
Any other?
Yeah, I'm sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Nelson, you said that the primary opposition, if you will, that Les Schwab and the tire industry has is safety for your clients. I respect that. Talk to me, though, a little bit about your interpretation, and it goes back to what Representative Thatcher was asking, actually the last person that testified. How much burden on Les Schwab or the tire industry as a whole would administering this be, if it were in place?
Madam Chair, Representative Bruin, we would just simply be collecting the money. We'd be collecting $10 more a tire, and we'd be segregating that. And Les Schwab, all Les Schwab stores are connected technologically by, you know, all the computers that are tied into the main shop. So, I mean, it's a burden. I mean, it's something we'd have to do. But that's not, of course, that's not our reason. Okay. And we have systems that can pick up that and account for it.
I have a one or two or a comment too. I know that during the work group or right after, as we were preparing the report, we took a little flack for referring to I think it was the Alaska study. That if we wanted to, you know, use statistics from a study, we needed to do our own study. And so I guess we chose to just attach it as opposed to putting anything in the report. But I find it interesting. I suppose maybe it's more of a comment that you're in here using some of this information that we couldn't put in our report, and was wondering about that.
Madam Chair, that's a fair criticism. I mean, it's the report, the Alaska report has good things and bad things. I mean, I've taken those things that I think bolster that we need to have a study that's very broad, that's inclusive of economic impacts and that. I think it can go either way. I mean, and I'm happy to provide you with copies of, I think you have the Alaska, but I don't think you have the Phoenix National Road Study, but I'll get that for you as well. But that's fair.
And then just a comment on the makeup of the work group. I think that, I mean, it could be a fair criticism that, you know, there were more government people than tire representatives, but I think the fact that we didn't reach a consensus and we didn't just overwhelm the tire industry and say we don't care what you want, we're going to come out with it anyway, shows that we, you know, we considered their position and weren't going to go ahead without that consensus. So I think that's important to note in this.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I would agree with that. Bill Linden from my office participated in that process, and I thought he felt it was open, and I don't think he felt overwhelmed, but there were a few days he came back loopy.
Thank you. Okay, if there, I do have one other person signed up, and then if you have, do you want to come up now?
Ms. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for the indulgence. Representative Beyer, I wanted to respond to the issue you raised about...
Would you please identify
yourself? Oh, I'm sorry, Bill Linden, representing Les Schwab Tires. What we took issue with in terms of what was included in the report was a reference to a public opinion survey in the state of Washington and a conclusion that those findings probably applied in Oregon. It wasn't with the Alaska study. It was with a public opinion survey in a different state, and I think what we suggested was if you want to find out what Oregonians think about this, the way to do it is to do a public opinion survey here. So I just wanted to clarify that for the record.
Thank you for correcting me. I knew it was either Washington or Alaska, and I couldn't remember. So thank you. And then Don Schellenberg.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Don Schellenberg, representing Oregon Farm Bureau. What I'm waiting for is studded tires on tractors. And if you ever have studded on tires on tractors, I'll oppose the fee. But I say that tongue-in-cheek, of course. But I think the issue there, of course, is, and it's already been stated, on Central Oregon, Eastern Oregon, less damage is done because of the snow and the ice that they do drive on. In addition to that, there's probably a lot of driving that occurs on non-paved roads in those parts of the state. And so that would even further reduce the damage that's caused by studded tires over there. Nonetheless, in Oregon Farm Bureau, we have a very comprehensive policy process that very much mirrors exactly what you do here. We have one little caveat, and that is where we don't have policy, our state board has the authority to take positions. Our board has not, our board will be meeting next week, however, in the meantime, however, we do have advisory committees such as what you have here, in effect, and that advisory committee is composed of about 20 people from around the state. And they met about a month ago, brought this issue to their attention, and they, in fact, unanimously recommended support of this bill. And they're from all around the state. They recognize the need for studded tires. The issue isn't here is not whether or not we're going to have studded tires. The issue is there is damage, and how do we mitigate some of that damage? And what they're saying is we're willing to pay a fee so that we can continue to have studded tires. So that's where they're coming from. That recommendation will go to our state board next week. We'll see whether they agree with that. That's 25 members on that board. So we'll see how that holds up. But initially, at least, I just offer to you that tentative support for the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
So, I don't know if there's anyone else. I don't recognize any new people in the room, so I assume there's no one else who wants to testify. So I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2869. Thank you.
Okay, we want to talk about next Wednesday.
Okay. Are we going on a tour?
Kim Thatcher. Is your name Thatcher? Are you going to talk about what next Wednesday?
Would you like me to?
I'd love to have you do that.
Okay. Well, my office has been talking with the Mexican consulate in Portland to arrange a tour for us, and tentatively set up for next Wednesday at 2 o'clock up in Portland. You know, the details, I guess, you could hash out, but they're going to confirm that with my office today around 3:30. It looks like it's going to happen, but it hasn't been absolutely confirmed for that time. So we'll just send you something, you can deal with it.
What's the date?
Was that a change?
That would be next Wednesday, whatever the date is, I'm not sure.
The 4th.
Thank you.
May 4th.
Yeah. May 4th. Did you? Were you going to do that this morning, weren't you?
I was.
Oh, okay, good, because that's... I mean,
I was.
You're doing it next, because I think that's yes. For me at least. I can get
yes,
that.
And that, you got postponed. So yeah. More people can go.
And I've talked to Patrick, and I think we can go ahead and skip one day and still get all our house bills. I really need to get all the house bills out by the 6th of May.
How many more do we have?
I have to have a Mr. note from Mother, otherwise.
Could I make a recommendation that we rent a green tortoise bus and hold a hearing and a bus ride up to the Mexican consulate office? I'm sort of joking.
As long as we record it.
It's a road trip. How appropriate. On the road. Yeah,
and we weren't going to do any more than a public hearing on that second.
The whole generation,
just a public hearing.
Okay. Yeah. So, if there's no more business, I adjourn today's meeting on transportation.